This week on the Electronic Intifada podcast, six young Palestinians are killed in the last month in the West Bank and Gaza Strip, including a 22-year-old college student who was gunned down by Israeli forces on Wednesday as she walked to visit her sister. And Israel arrests a young activist with the Stop the Wall campaign in the latest escalation of attacks on human rights defenders. We'll have an interview with Jamal Juma of the Stop the Wall campaign in the West Bank to talk about Israel's latest spate of killings and arrests.
This shouldn't be accepted. We are human beings. We have right, like any other people around the world, to live peacefully, to go in the morning to our schools and our homes and to go back at the evening at our homes, not to send our children to the school and we don't know if they are coming back or not.
Also, Israel's land theft means camels in Gaza have few places to graze. And news from the global boycott, divestment, and sanctions movement, including how security firm G4S is under scrutiny in Sweden over its involvement in Israel's human rights abuses. I'm Nora Barrows-Friedman, Associate Editor for the Electronic Intifada in Berkeley. We begin in the occupied West Bank. On Wednesday, 22-year-old Lubna Hanash was walking to visit her sister in the Al-Arub refugee camp between Hebron and Bethlehem when Israeli forces, who were riding in a civilian car, opened fire on a group of people. Lubna Hanash was shot in the head and died from her injuries, according to Palestinian media reports. The Electronic Intifada reported that Hanash was a fourth-year political science student at Al-Quds University, according to Al-Quds newspaper, and had been visiting her sister in Arub camp. Another woman, Suad Yusuf Jara, was shot in the hand. According to Ma'an News Agency, Israeli occupation forces claimed that, quote, soldiers were attacked by Palestinians who hurled multiple firebombs at them while they were traveling near Al-Arub. Soldiers returned fire, and the circumstances of the incident are currently being reviewed, unquote. However, such Israeli claims are routinely made to justify arbitrary killings of Palestinians and almost never result in credible investigations, the Electronic Intifada wrote. Our report added that, quote, in December, Mohammed al-Salaima, a Hebron teen, was shot dead on his 17th birthday in unexplained circumstances. Claims by the Israeli soldier who shot him that Mohammed had brandished a weapon and taken another soldier hostage were proven false by video of the incident. And earlier on Wednesday, a Palestinian child, 15-year-old Saleh al-Amarin, died of gunshot wounds inflicted by Israeli forces in the occupied West Bank city of Bethlehem last week. Ma'an added that last Tuesday, 17-year-old Samir Ahmed Abdul Rahim was the fourth Palestinian shot dead by Israeli forces in less than a week. As we reported last week on this podcast, between January 11th and January 15th, four young Palestinians between the ages of 17 and 22 were shot dead by Israeli occupation forces in the West Bank and Gaza Strip. With Lubna Hanash's killing, it means that six young Palestinians have now been killed by Israeli occupation forces this month. Meanwhile, the Electronic Intifada reported on Thursday that, quote, Israeli forces arrested activist and human rights defender Hassan Karaja during a nighttime raid on his home in the occupied West Bank village of Safa, near Ramallah, on Wednesday morning. According to activism group Stop the Wall, Israeli forces damaged property and attempted to humiliate Karaja's family. Quote, armed soldiers of the IOF, Israeli occupation forces, stormed the home of Hassan Karaja at 2:30 a.m. and, gathering the family together in one room, separated the men and women from each other. The soldiers started to search the family members and ordered them to strip naked. However, the men and women refused and defied this order. Mohammed Karaja, Hassan's brother and a lawyer, reported that special units of the Israeli army stormed the house and carried out an extensive search, in the process breaking furniture, scattering the contents of the house, and taking three personal computers, three mobile phones, and five bags of private documents belonging to the family. Hassan was then blindfolded and arrested and taken to an undisclosed location. Israeli soldiers refused to tell Hassan's family where he was being taken. The Palestinian prisoners' rights group Ad-Damir stated on Thursday that Hassan is currently being held at the Jalameh Interrogation Center. The group also stated on its Facebook page that an Israeli military court has ordered Karaja's detention for another 12 days of interrogation, and that Karaja was, quote, beaten shortly after his arrest when he was first detained at a checkpoint. Joining us to talk about his colleague's arrest in the context of ongoing and expanding arrests and detentions of human rights defenders and the recent spate of killings of young Palestinians across the West Bank and Gaza Strip this month is our good friend Jamal Juma. Jamal is the coordinator of the Stop the Wall campaign based in Ramallah. Jamal, thank you so much for joining us on the Electronic Intifada podcast.
Thank you.
So let's start off with the arrest and interrogation and detention of Hassan Karaja. He's a youth coordinator with Stop the Wall, the activism group whose members have been repeatedly targeted by Israeli forces, including yourself. You were arrested in 2009. As we reported last year, the army raided the Stop the Wall's offices, stealing computers and hard drives. And a previous youth coordinator, Mohammed Othman, was also arrested in 2009. He was interrogated for more than 60 days and held for 113 days without charge or trial. Jamal, talk about the expansion of attacks on human rights defenders. Is this part of a concentrated effort by Israel to undermine grassroots Palestinian civil society movements?
Yeah, that's true. And we need to also to understand that this, the Israeli government and is a right-wing fascist government, like with all what they are doing in the West Bank. From destruction of the houses to the evacuating of the people. Just like a week ago, they have been evacuated the whole village in the north of the Jordan Valley. And they destroy around 90 houses since the beginning of this month. This is part of the policies of ethnic cleansing and part of the policies of free change the whole de facto situation on the ground, changing the geopolitical map of the West Bank in order to be able to control it 100%, control everything, every aspect of the Palestinian people life, their movement, their work, their future, their food, their everything. Part of this is like to annex the vast majority of the West Bank, which is undergoing now by intensifying the settlements in different parts of the area, what's called Area C, and evacuating the areas that I was talking about for the benefit of the settlers and the expansion of the colonies, the settlements that they are building in the West Bank. On the other hand, it's like any Palestinian resistance is continuing. The steadfastness of the people in these areas and resisting the expulsion, resisting the moving out of them is part of the Palestinian resistance against this policies, this fascist policy. So the reaction of the military and the action of Israel is also to target strongly this resistance and any Palestinians who is willing to resist. And the campaign is an example of a popular resistance that started in 2000 as a reaction of this colonial project, which is the apartheid wall that has been framing the whole colonial racist project in the West Bank, which has ended up with an apartheid system that we are witnessing now. So part of it is like targeting this campaign and the popular committees around in the West Bank since long ago. Particularly, it intensified in 2009, in June, when they started arresting the people from the coordinators of the committees in different areas, and also dealing with aggressive violence against the demonstrators and the peaceful demonstrations around. Then moving to the coordinators of the youth and to the campaign, trying to destroy all our means of work, particularly the office and the tools that we have, like either our networks, our materials that we are using, our archive that we are building, aiming at that certain point to break us and to break the resistance of the people against the occupation. But yani, what has been witnessing, and this is, Israel is drunk with their power, like any other occupier who had been all the support from the world, particularly from the United States government. They think by using the immense of power against the people and trying to destroy them, that they will win against them. But they didn't learn the lesson that the more that you deal violently with the people and the more that you kill the people and you try to destroy them, the more that the resistance became grown up, like more and more. Then that has been proved by the first intifada, when they used to use the the policy of the breaking the bones that has been initiated that time by Yitzhak Rabin. He was the president that time. So the result of the breaking the bones is that the Intifada became much more stronger and powerful and became much more expanding all over. The same with the second Intifada when it started peacefully in the first 3 months until the 6 months. It was very peaceful demonstrations like the first Intifada. But in the first 3 months, they killed 300 Palestinians in these demonstrations. So the result was this Intifada changed into a violent and became really like any, in a way that it became an armed resistance that ended up with Israel committing massacres like the Jenin massacre and the massacres that has been they commit in the in different Palestinian cities in 2002 mainly. Then lately, we didn't surprise that they arrest someone like Hassan. Hassan is like a young activist. And in the light of the latest development in the popular resistance, like when Bab al-Shams, Bab al-Karami, and different other initiatives, our people is challenging the occupation in the very sensitive areas like E1 and the settlements where they confiscate the land, and they came for the first time. The Palestinians is building villages and tents to stay in, not because they are escaping from the occupation, but they are saying we call it the return back camps, to go back to the land that they are trying to take out and confiscate from the people. So we expect that they are going to deal with us much more violently, and they are going to arrest us, and we don't know who will be after Hassan.
That's the voice of Jamal Juma from the Stop the Wall campaign based in the West Bank. Jamal, talk a little bit more about the efforts of the Stop the Wall campaign right now as these colonization efforts are ramping up, as the settlements are expanding, as you said.
You know, we expect this year is going to be a very difficult year, especially that we have now a real right-wing fascist government again after the latest Israeli election. And because also, the last month of 2012 was really very difficult, when they, with all of this doing, from the level of the confiscation of the land, level of destruction of the houses, and the pressure on the people, arresting the people, killing the people. So it's clearly that they are going to drive the situation to the explosion. It's expected. We can't, as Palestinians, stand watching while they are doing all what they are doing to our people. So that's why we expect that the situation will be exploded and we'll have another Intifada. Now, for example, what they are doing, they are many of the areas, especially in what's so-called Area C in the Jordan Valley and in the near Nablus, in the mountains, in the north and south of Hebron, there is now villages and neighborhoods targeted for expulsion. And destroying their houses and their properties. And every day we have people just coming, showing us the orders from the military of destroying houses and giving them a little bit week, like a week to complain about it. And which is at the end up with the bulldozers, coming early morning and destroy their houses. So our reaction to this as a popular movement, is to go to stand up with the people, to go to see with them in their houses, and trying to bring much more solidarity from people towards these villages. Also, trying to make it a big issue in the media, so we are trying to also to pressure within the Palestinian Authority also to move. And political parties became much more involved now in the actions that's going on the ground. So how we see the situation is now escalating, and it's coming toward really more and more villages that joined the popular resistance and places that they started to join that. I want to talk about many things that would take long time, in every aspect of the life. You see that there's some kind of a serious attacks, like the prisoners, for example. Prisoners is a big issue. More than 4,500 prisoners now in jails, some of them is under hunger strike since now over 100 days. four of them has been moved to the hospital just like a few days ago. So we have now in our tent, we called it like a village tent in Jenin. It's to protest and to support the prisoners in their strike. They attacked this tent, and they many people has been injured, but and they tried to move it by force, but the people stay there, and it's in a village close to the wall or on the isolated. In fact, most of it's land by the wall. It's called Anin in Jenin area in the north.
If you could talk just for 1 minute about your reaction to the killings of six young Palestinians in the course of 1 month by Israeli forces in the West Bank and Gaza.
You know, this is really like any. You get so angry and so frustrated when you see such young people have been killed, shot dead, for nothing. They just go home, guys are to the schools or they go to their homes, and suddenly there is like any a soldier or a settler would like any point the gun and shoot them with no reason for that. They are not holding guns and they are confronting them. So this is I would say it's happening because Israel used to do this. Settlers used to do that. Without anybody hold them accountable to what they are doing. The settlers can shoot and the soldiers and should kill the people. And they don't even go to the interrogation or to the court. This is internal. But the more bigger picture, I would say, is that Israel must take it to the court. Israel must sanctions. Must sanction for this. They are must boycotted and isolated as a criminal power. That they do this to the civilians, to the people who are innocent people, and particularly many of them has been killed, his children, like what happened for this girl from the refugee camp Al Arub, which she had no whatsoever anything that has been done to be killed or to deserve to be killed. So who's asking about these crimes? Who's just like, can you hold these people accountable for their crimes? Why the soldiers who kill her don't kill tomorrow another two or three? Because he went home and he sleep very, very deep sleep in his home. Yeah, and he knows very well that he can justify his crime. And it can they can be also anybody even laugh in his face when he do that. So this whole system is corrupted. The whole system has no morals whatsoever. That's why it's okay. It can't continue like this. It can't continue like this. We will not accept it as a people. At the end, like the people drive us, as we say in Arabic, drive us back to the wall. It means that they left us with powerless, without any means but to defend ourselves at the end. And to explode at the end. That there's nothing to lose at the end. We don't want to reach to this point. That's why we all the time call that this needs an international interference. This is need that people wake up. This shouldn't be accepted. We are human beings. We have right, like any other people around the world, to live peacefully, to go in the morning to our schools and our homes and to go back at the evening at our homes, not to send our children to the school and we don't know if they are coming back or not.
That is the voice of Jamal Juma. He's the coordinator with the Stop the Wall campaign based in Ramallah in the West Bank. People can go to stopthewall.org to read more about the campaign and to get involved. And to read more about our reports on these stories, visit electronicintifada.net. Jamal, thank you so much for being with us today on the Electronic Intifada podcast.
Thank you very much. Thank you.
Reporting from the Gaza Strip, our correspondent Rami El-Megari focused on how Israeli restrictions are impacting camel livestock in Gaza. Camel's milk is a traditional healing remedy, and a farmer, Adnan El-Mossadar, said that camels in Gaza have been reliable since ancient times. Quote, reliable in terms of their meat production and good quality milk that helps cure a number of illnesses, especially stomach conditions, he added. The farmer said camels need, quote, large areas of arable land that are filled with various grass types. Prior to 1948, my father's family alone used to own tens of acres of farmland, but almost 60% of those lands were seized by Israel after the 1948 Arab-Israel War, he explained. El-Megari reported that, quote, more of the family's land was stolen after the breakout of the 1967 war. The number of camels the family could raise was reduced due to Israeli restrictions. He adds, quote, the 300-meter-deep buffer zone along the fertile boundary line dates from 2000 and has prevented farmers from cultivating their lands. After the November 2012 ceasefire, Israel began allowing some farmers to return to their lands in those areas. But farming along the buffer zone remains dangerous. Earlier this month, Israeli forces shot and killed 21-year-old Mustafa Jarad while he was tending his land. Despite Israel's violence and restrictions, agriculture remains the top industry in Palestine and an essential part of Palestinian culture, and its traditions live on. Indeed, camel rearers will hold a camel race in Gaza next month, only the second of its kind since 1967. For much more on this story from Rami Elmaghari in Gaza, go to electronicintifada.net. And now we go to news from the global boycott, divestment, and sanctions movement. The Electronic Intifada reported that, quote, politicians in Oslo, Norway, have been pushing for the exclusion of British-Danish security firm G4S from bidding for public contracts because of its involvement in Israel's violations of international law and human rights, a Norwegian newspaper reported on January 16th. Meanwhile, the Church of Sweden's Umeå branch will no longer hire G4S due to its role in the occupation and the Israeli prisons. Lisa Tegby, the vicar of the Umeå branch, told Swedish radio station Studio One that she believes the action is supported by UN Special Rapporteur Richard Falk's report to the UN General Assembly, which calls for a boycott of companies profiting financially from the settlements in the West Bank. In his report to the UN General Assembly, Falk addresses the legal responsibility of business enterprises and corporations in activities relating to Israel's settlements. In response to questions from Swedish media, G4S claimed it will pull out of its controversial contracts in the West Bank. Debbie McGrath, G4S communications manager in London, told a Norwegian newspaper on January 16th that this concerns a police station, a prison, and a few checkpoints. However, Richard Falk investigated G4S's intention, quote, to exit a number of contracts involving the servicing of security equipment at the checkpoints in the wall, prisons, and police stations in the West Bank. G4S does not intend to end all operations in Israeli settlements, concluded Falk, because the company continues its contracts with private enterprises operating in the settlements. Moreover, G4S will remain complicit with Israel's violations of international law through its services to Israeli prisons, where thousands of Palestinian political prisoners are held. Israel's transfer of thousands of Palestinian prisoners, including children, from the occupied territory to military prisons inside Israel is a violation of Article 76 of the Fourth Geneva Convention. That was an excerpt of a longer report in our activism and BDS blog by Adri Newhoff. For much more on this story and other current news from the global boycott, divestment, and sanctions movement, check out our activism and BDS blog on electronicintifada.net. And that's it for our weekly Electronic Intifada podcast. For news, information, cultural features and reviews, pointed opinion and analysis, and action alerts by our team of correspondents and bloggers, visit us online at electronicintifada.net. This week, be sure to check out the arts and culture features, our newest op-eds, and Normal Racism, the Israeli elections are over and the so-called centrist kingmaker Yair Lapid shuns Palestinian citizens of Israel. New Palestine films to look out for and others to watch online. Graphic details, how visualizing Palestine designed a fight for justice. Irvine 11 appeals are filed as defense lawyers say their convictions were unconstitutional, and much more. At electronicintifada.net, you can also post comments and sign up for our daily newsletter. Follow us on Twitter at Intifada. Radio stations are free to use this podcast, and a special thanks to Flashpoints and KPFA in Berkeley. On behalf of all of us at the Electronic Intifada, thank you for listening.